Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Everything seems to be different at the Eurovision Song Contest this year. There was the ouster of Dutch artist Joost Klein following allegations of intimidation. And then there's the war in Gaza. Adrian Bradley reports.
Nothing like this has ever happened before. And this is normally a joyous event. Yes, it's a competition. And people take the competition very seriously. They care about winning. But what you never get are these angry scenes between different delegations, the situations at the press conference where artists didn't want to take photos with each other, where artists seem to kind of roll their eyes at other artists' answers and things like that.
Israel has issued new evacuation orders for Palestinians in Rafah ahead of a possible major military operation.
Most have moved multiple times before the war, following wherever they go. Some are going north, searching for scraps of open ground, often by the sea, places without any basic services. We take water from the sea for our children, Sumaya says. There are no bathrooms, no food, no tents. Look at the children. They haven't had any breakfast or even seen food.
The BBC's Paul Adams in Jerusalem. The war in Gaza, which has led to pro-Palestinian demonstrations and encampments, has caused many colleges and universities to rethink their commencement plans. Here's CBS's Samantha Vinograd.
Certain ceremonies have been canceled entirely. Columbia University canceled their main commencement ceremony, and invitations to certain speakers have been suspended. The University of Vermont and Xavier University in Louisiana suspended invitations to the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
Two schools in Virginia are getting new names. Actually, they're reverting to their old names of Confederate officers. The Shenandoah County School Board is the first in the nation to do this, and the community is fiercely divided.
The Virginia NAACP told me it is considering potential action. Some board members are defending their votes, but earlier, a school administration building was placed on lockdown as a precaution following a threat on social media.
CBS's Nicole Killian. At the criminal trial of former President Trump, CBS's Katrina Kaufman says the jury yesterday was shown a chart depicting the many charges.
The jury was actually leaning forward to look at this because it's the first time this has been presented to them. It showed the 11 checks, 11 invoices, and 12 vouchers, and it was numbered 1 through 34.
Trump has pleaded not guilty. The sky is putting on quite a show thanks to an unusually strong solar storm. Space.com columnist Joe Rayo on the stunning sight.
With the fact that we are now at a G5 level, something that is not often seen, this may allow the northern lights to be seen all the way down as far south as the Gulf coastal state.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. New polling in battleground states turn up some surprising data about what's important to rural voters. Mike Moan reports.
The poll released by the Rural Democracy Initiative included feedback from Wisconsin voters. 57% of respondents said they favored a more economic populist vision, with policies centered around lowering costs and raising incomes for the working class. Breakthrough Campaigns researcher Patrick Toomey, who helped lead the poll, says that approach appears more popular than one often touted by GOP politicians.
Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help me in this economy.
And while economic policies aligned with Democrats, like minimum wage hikes, are favorable in this poll, many rural voters indicated they think Republicans are doing more for working people. Analysts say that shows Democrats have work to do to rebuild trust in rural areas. Meanwhile, 3/4 of respondents either support abortions or don't want the government interfering with decisions on reproductive health care. Toomey says it will take some time for Democrats to reconnect with these voters and that it won't completely turn around in this election cycle. But he suggests it's not completely hopeless for the party to make gains in rural America ahead of November's vote.
One of the key learnings here is that there are enough voters in rural areas of battleground states who are up for grabs to determine the outcome of 2024.
He suggests if Democrats are savvy with their outreach, they might be able to convince rural populations that they're pursuing policies these voters have outlined as a top priority. More than 1,700 voters in 10 states were part of the poll. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high near 65, an afternoon shower possible. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 46. For Sunday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. It will be breezy. Scattered storms Sunday night, a low of 56. More storms Monday, 67.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
May 11th, 2024. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's still time for This Week in Waukesha, Hour 2. I am your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios in downtown Waukesha, right around the corner from Theodora Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. It's a fantastic Mother's Day weekend. I am joined for the first time by my producer, the Mighty Max. How you doing, Max? Still hanging in there after 1 hour?
Still doing great. We're going strong here. Nothing's blown up yet.
Yeah, so no, you're doing an amazing job. Thank you, Max. And my guests here in hour two gave you a little sneak preview. Three generations from the Medina clan, shall we say. Yolanda, her daughter, Amanda, and Amanda's daughter, Marissa.
Good morning.
So we kind of put Marissa on the spot there a little bit. Oh, and then here's my surprise visitor a good friend of the Medinas, Mary Jane Sanchez. I could use some Joe. Thanks. She brought the Joe. I love it. Thanks so much. So we were talking about, well, you're part of a family with very deep roots in Waukesha. You had kind of lived around the country, having military parents, both Marines, right?
That's correct.
Semper Fi. Love that. And then also through your church, too. So can you tell us about that?
That's correct. My first four of the six of us were born on the East Coast when our parents were
in North Carolina.
North Carolina, Cherry Point, North Carolina is where I am from.
You're from Waukesha.
I'm from Waukesha.
You belong to us.
Well, I do consider it home now. It took a little bit, but I do consider it home.
Sure.
So we were in North Carolina, but when my father returned, when was that, Mom?
Joe came in the
80s.
Yes.
He had left the military 86, I believe, and became a pastor.
Okay.
And through his trainings and different things, it took him, he actually traveled more than we did. There was a bunch of us, so we stayed home with Mom.
Sure.
But Texas, Mexico, planting churches. He planted 36 churches.
Really?
He helped be a part of all of that. So, once he went to full-fledged ministry, then we went to Texas and we moved around Texas a little bit.
Okay. And that's why you're a Cowboys fan.
We are Cowboys fans.
Even if they stayed in Wisconsin, they would have been. Medinas are hardcore Cowboy fans.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Because Texas is homeland.
Sure. So. Sure. Yep. That's Mary Jane's family's from Texas, but she's a Packer fan. So we managed to, she was born here. Our parents.
We still like her, though.
So that's it. So Marissa, how about you? Does that make you a Cowboys fan too then? Or do you try to?
I'm a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
I get a little bit backfire from school sometimes, but.
True confession here. When I was born and raised in Orchard Park, New York, home of the Buffalo Bills. So I was a Bills fan. But as the Bills were going downhill in the mid to late 70s and they traded O.J. Simpson, who back then was a superhero, walked on water before we knew about his personal life. And, you know, when you grow up in a town that either doesn't have a pro baseball team or just the home team's not doing that great, you would follow who's ever. And back then, it was the Cowboys and Roger the Dodger. Roger Staubach, another military, a Navy guy, Could you reconcile with that, though, cheering for a Navy guy?
Oh, or absolutely.
Probably like because he was in the services, right?
Well, the Navy took the Marines wherever they needed to go, so.
Yep. And then Tom Landry, one of the great coaches, a great team. I love the Doomsday defense. And so I was a Cowboy fan, and it always it crushed me when they lost those two times to the Steelers in the Super Bowl. So, but I loved friends of mine that were Cowboys fans loved the old stadium with that funny hole in the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was so that God could watch his favorite team was the story. So, but now you have what's called AT&T.
Yes.
That's a very impressive complex. So
it is. We visited it before and it's really nice.
Sure. Sure. But so during that time, when you mentioned with your dad doing his work, that it was basically just mom. It was kind of, in some ways, it was like a single parent family, at least physically or, you know, geographically. So, and it from what I can judge is that very high marks for mom, for grandma, for raising the family during those times, during those formative. Is that fair to say?
I was little, so I honestly don't remember too much. Mom?
I'm just grateful that my children still love me. Being raised by two Marines, not one, but two. Yeah. I do believe we were very strict. I had cards in every room with exactly how each room needed to be cleaned, expectations. And then if those were checked off, everything was okay.
Wow.
But I mean, they had very strict rules, but I think they understood what we wanted from them and that it was done in a drill instructor voice, but in a loving drill instructor voice.
Sounds great. Now, did any of your children follow in your footsteps in the military?
They did not. My husband was in Beirut, Lebanon in 83 when the barracks was bombed.
God bless.
And
I remember that.
He, from that point on, although he cherished our time in the Marine Corps, he didn't want our children to experience that as well. So he did everything he could to discourage them. And the best way he found to discourage them was getting them all partners.
Wow. Okay. I love it. Spouses, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. I think I remember Eric telling me at your birthday a couple of years back about how that you guys were set up too, right?
We were.
And the
we
parents. Were set up. So the parents had a big influence, but a right one, as it turns out.
Yes. Dad rarely steered me wrong.
Sure, sure. But you know, that's my father served in Korea in the U.S. Army. Mm-hmm. And he had discouraged all his kids, all nine living kids, from pursuing the military. Like the West Point had come and recruited two of my brothers for football on different occasions. And my dad wouldn't have it. Another sister was considering ROTC and same thing. He didn't want anybody. But that being said, though, was that he was a patriot. And when he did die, he did. It was one thing he wanted with the full rights of the military. And that was obviously a very special moment.
Mm-hmm.
And still, you know, I can like it's so when they fold up the flag and they gave it to my mom and, you know, I still remember, you know, Mrs. Brown on behalf of President Joe Biden, the U.S. Army and a very grateful nation. Our condolences. And like, yeah, that's still like pulls at the old heartstrings, shall we say.
It does. Sure. And I'll be very honored one day when my placard for military service sits alongside Joe's.
Sure. Sure. Fantastic. So because you teach, right, still?
No, I haven't taught in quite a while.
Okay, I apologize.
I work at UW-Milwaukee.
That's it.
I'm the director of the Military and Veterans Resource Center.
That's what it was. Okay, so you're still serving in that in
yes, capacity. I've been in higher ed for almost 20 years now.
Wow, fantastic. And at a great school, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that is terrific. So I was going to circle around now to Marissa. So a military career is not in your future then, or...?
I'm still kind of deciding where I want to go. I think I want to go into law, though.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Maybe there's something.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, you got to have that fighting spirit to pursue a legal career. So, that's what I was going to circle back to was that the Medinas have that fighting spirit with the boxing club. That's been a real one of the institutions here in Waukesha. I remember when... again, it was at your birthday. Melissa, my wife, and I were talking to Eric, and I think it was like Melissa's first time really getting to know Eric, and he had told the story about how he, knowing the Medinas and the boxing club, that he always made sure to really never treat you wrong for fear of like, you know, very, very serious physical retribution from the extended family. So we always got a kick out of that.
Yes.
So,
But this is giving Eric some ample time to make preparations, right, for a special Mother's Day weekend.
Yes, he takes care of us. He does a good job.
Sounds good. Now, but you said you're working today, right? There's some weddings or graduation parties too.
Yes, I'll be working out in Milwaukee tonight. Buddies and I will spread out and
sure.
And yes, gives Eric and the younger girls plenty of time to prep for us.
I love it. Yeah. So my wife, again, for when you're a softball mom, there's always a tournament on Mother's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. You can tell the guys plan this. but we always try our best to make fun out of it. In previous years, we'd even had like Bloody Mary. If there was like an 8 o'clock game, they'd be like Bloody Marys when the game started. So we'd do our best to take care of moms that way. But she treated herself. They left early on Friday night because it's down in Beloit. And so her and my daughter got a hotel. I'm going down there to meet them after this show, so I'll miss the first game. But then we're spending the night there. So, again, we don't have to go back and forth, mm-hmm. as families tend to do for these regional tournaments. And but it's all day. I think if we make it to the championship game, it's like at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock. So that's Mother's Day. But we do. Our oldest got home from school yesterday. Welcome back, Jordan. And so we're hoping that, when we get home, we'll have like a little, like a late dinner or something at the house or do something fun. So is that 3 minutes there, Max? Okay. Very good. So I saw you shaking there. Got a little nervous, like 30 seconds. Get it out, Don. So hang in there. So I mentioned my guest next week is Mary Berg from Waukesha Parks, Rec, and Forestry. And there is another exciting calendar of activities going on here in the Shaw in the summer, which makes it just a vibrant place to live, especially when the weather is nice. But before that, I want to mention even though there's no parade this year, there are still some very special commemorations for Memorial Day on Monday, May 27th. The city people can gather at Veterans Park at 710 West Avenue and cast flowers into the river in tribute to those who made the ultimate sacrifice. And then 11, please join us, the city, for a program at Cutler Park, honoring all who have died and served in our country. And that's also another great ceremony. And I saw you at the one 2 years ago at Cutler Park after the parade.
Yes.
So it was always great running into you. And again, with your family's ties to the military and myself, I guess you'd say a legacy of Korean War. It's Memorial Day has always been a very big deal to me.
Our parents very much instilled that patriotism and the respect for those who served and recognizing their families.
Sure. So it's still going to be a very special day. And with a lot of our veterans getting older and some of us, and moving on into the next life, they're really, I think there's some opportunities. I don't want to say obligations or responsibilities, although I believe that, but I think there's opportunities for younger people to really step up and fill those voids. We can continue honoring those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But we're also talking more about the sacrifices of our mothers on the special Mother's Day weekend. So we're going to be talking more with my three friends here from the same family. And hey, we'd love to hear any Mother's Day wishes or stories you have. You can call from the Civic Media app. And don't forget my guest, Mary Berg, next week. And then the following week, it's Tyler Pudliner. And so much more here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, The Shaw. It doesn't really matter if your German love is sad, as long as you know the love is endless and the world is wide. As long as you know.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one can change my mind, but Mama tried. The one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore.
I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, cause Mama tried.
Hey, thanks for sticking that out, Max. You're listening to This Week in Waukesha on this special Mother's Day weekend, and it wouldn't be Mother's Day weekend without a little Merle Haggard doing Mama Tried, and great story behind that song. For any of you Grateful Dead fans, that was always a popular cover with Bobby Weir in the lead vocals. And there's a great album called Roots of the Grateful Dead that has great liner notes that tells the story of each of the original songs. And it just reads like great American folk culture and history. And during our reprieve, Yolanda had mentioned something about when I was transitioning from military to the sacrifices mothers make. Yolanda, take over.
Well, it struck me that women are always cut off from the conversation of military and veteran occasions, and women have served. And one of my platforms at work and with my veterans groups is to recognize women in service. There's a nationwide campaign called I Am Not Invisible, started by the VA for women in Oregon who were not being recognized at their VAs. So it's a pictorial campaign. Wisconsin has a collection. I'm one of the first that's in there. And I'm tired of people looking at my car, seeing my stickers, and wondering who it is I know who served. When I say, oh, it was me, then they're like, oh, wow. They're really, truly shocked because they do not associate military service with a woman.
Interesting. Yeah, and you know, very true. I mean, I know we've seen some recent, there's been movies about it, about women in service, and but yeah, there's really not enough, and especially because there are women that have been in the theater, shall we say, that have experienced a lot of the type, you know, PTSD and other issues that, that men encounter. And I imagine, too, that's overlooked.
That's correct. And as well as military sexual trauma. And another one of my platforms is moral injury. And that's outside of PTSD. PTSD is guilt, fear-based. Moral injury is guilt and shame-based. So based on either what you experienced, what you thought you perpetrated, and those type of things. And that's where suicidal ideation comes in. And so I try to work with women to help them understand what their service meant to them, to be proud of being a veteran, and to acknowledge their military service.
I think that's wonderful. Did you serve in combat at all in your time, Yolanda?
I did not. It was the early 80s. The Marine Corps was not putting women in service. I was in a training aircraft squadron, but there are many women who have been in battle areas. Only 10% of the military actually serves in a combat zone.
Right.
And so the other 90% are support services, but they're still
very essential to the work being done in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I know that my brother-in-law is a retired Air Force. And was a meteorologist for the Air Force. And they spent their last 3 or 4 years at an army base in Northeast Germany because, as Ray likes to say, army doesn't have weather. Like, they didn't have. So he had a very unique role. And I remember at his retirement, we got to watch it on FaceTime. And it was just, or, you know, Facebook live stream. And there was some really neat commendations for, because the weather reports he was giving were key for certain battles, like during Desert Storm and some of the others. And even like when the president was coming to visit Germany and making sure that, you know, kind of determining a safe weather path for them to travel safely. And so it's just really neat the impact that he had in the capacity as a meteorologist. Some of his assignments too, like he'd be in very remote areas doing what, like in a, he could dress in civilian clothes, but it just didn't seem like a very safe place for a Westerner. And he'd go into this kind of little hut or box that had the satellites and where he could do all the reporting and everything. And so, I imagine there's tons of other stories like that of men and women in service that
That's are correct.
Doing very essential roles, very specific, oftentimes technical or very, you know, specialized roles that, you know, benefit our national security. And then many of these men and women, too, come out, like Ray was recruited before he even retired by a company and doing very well for them doing training.
Well, I was an aircraft technician, so they were trying to recruit me for some other mechanics fields. And sure. I said, I'm not wearing boots anymore. I'm not going to get hydraulic fluid poured all over me again. I'm not crawling into small spaces to look for things that men can't reach.
Sure.
So I went into academics.
There you go. That's fantastic. And obviously I had a great career, too.
Yes.
So fantastic. Now, I know Amanda, in addition to being a very busy mother, and also in your work, in primarily in catering, you're also a very active volunteer. You're a member of the Rotary Club. You helped organize that recent pancake breakfast.
You came out to help us as well.
Thank you. And you came to the show to help promote it, which was fun.
It was.
So, and then through the Rotary, you and Eric became involved with the food pantry serving Waukesha County.
Yes. The food pantry has various services for the community, and one of those is to do home delivery for those who aren't able to make it out. So Rotary, our good friend Karen, had called out for some help, and 3 years later, he and I are still there every other weekend. Actually, we're looking for some more volunteers for that. There used to be a whole crew of us. We're down to two sets, so if anybody's interested, reach out to Don or me. Don can get a hold of me. We'd love to add you to our team.
Thanks for doing that. You know, and as I was driving down, I think it was maybe during Volunteer Appreciation Week last month. It was a Volunteer Appreciation Month. When you're just driving down, I think is this east here, as you're going towards Carroll or back and forth, there's maybe half a dozen nonprofits. Like the Women's Center comes to mind right away that could benefit from good volunteerism and support.
Yes, and all of those entities, those providers have ways to reach out to them. There's very simple things or time, talent, treasure. That's the phrase.
Yeah.
They're all looking for all of those, and they all, a majority of them all partner together. So, if one organization doesn't work, somebody else will take you.
Sure. How are we doing that time there, Max? 22 minutes or 20. Okay. 2 minutes. So thank you. So, what has, I guess, motherhood meant to you, starting with Amanda?
Well, motherhood has taught me to appreciate my mother. When I was younger, we weren't necessarily friends. We weren't enemies, but we weren't friends. And then when I got married, it's like, I need my mom. And then when I had my children, then I started to understand why she was the way she was with my sister and
there's
I.
There's always that phone call, especially from the daughters. Like,
yes.
God, I was so mean to you.
Yes, and we call them like, I'm sorry or thank you. Now I understand. So it does. It helped me to appreciate what my mother did for us. Things now that we experience as children, I never saw them as struggles. It was, we always had food. We always had a roof. And my parents were like, I can't believe we live that way. And
sure.
They covered it in love.
The conversation continues with Amanda, Yolanda, and Marissa. And we'll give Yolanda a chance to talk about what motherhood has meant to her, and as well as Marissa, what it's meant to, again, be the subject of all this great motherly love here on This Week in Waukesha, this Mother's Day weekend, week two of the Farmer's Market.
No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried. Mama tried to raise me better. But it's bleeding, I deny.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Dutch artist Joost Klein has been disqualified from the Eurovision Song Contest after allegations of intimidation against a female staffer. This in strong contrast to the song Klein would have sung.
It was one of the favorites, and it was kind of joyous. It was silly. It had a nice, fun kind of repeating song that was very easy to sing along with.
Reporter Adrian Bradley. Israel has ordered new evacuations from Rafah. The BBC's Yolan Nell is in Jerusalem.
Israeli tanks have encircled an area which is to the east of Rafah, which they had told residents to evacuate from earlier in the week. So now those tanks do seem to be advancing.
Severe weather that hit Tallahassee, Florida has toppled trees and downed power lines.
It's been so wet along the southeast coast that things are a lot more susceptible to fall down, and that is why you saw as much damage as you did in parts of the Florida panhandle.
CBS meteorologist David Parkinson. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers' Gasser gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Milwaukee with an 11-2 win over St. Louis Friday night. Willie Adames with three doubles, scoring two runs and a pair of RBI. Brewers lefty Robert Gasser, making his major league debut, pitched six scoreless innings, only the fifth Brewer to do so in his career debut, including Jim Slade in 1974 and Brandon Woodruff in 2017. The 24-year-old Gasser came to Milwaukee in the Josh Hader trade and was more than ready to finally get a shot at the majors. Pat Murphy.
I think Gas came with a little chip on his shoulder, like I should have been here last year in my mind. They made me wait, and maybe that's something that we can think about sometimes. Maybe we need to make some guys wait. It's great to see they get here, they pay their dues, they get here, and they got a little edge to them when they get here.
NBA former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer is the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, replacing Frank Vogel, fired after just 1 year in Arizona. Coach Bud to sign a five-year deal worth $50 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high near 65, an afternoon shower possible. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 46. For Sunday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. It will be breezy. Scattered storms Sunday night, a low of 56. More storms Monday, 67.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot hangs out to tell us what the week's forecast looks like. And then Peter and Tracy Flukey stop by before their trip out to New York on their tandem bike.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
Hey, listen to this week in Waukesha. And I think this Bette Midler song, very fitting for our mothers this Mother's Day weekend. To me, mothers is synonymous with heroes. I think that's a safe thing to say. And I'm honored to have two wonderful mothers and a grandmother here and the daughter and granddaughter. We're talking, of course, about Yolanda Lomeli Medina, Amanda Medina Roddy, and Marissa Roddy. Three generations from one of the great Waukesha families. And Amanda, you're going to finish up what, you know, motherhood has meant to you and I guess the influence that your mom Yolanda has had on you. Any other any comments to kind of wrap that up?
Well, sure. So I talked about my mom and how motherhood, she influenced my motherhood, but I tried to replicate what she did with my girls, keeping them in line, showing them service to others. I don't want to say service above self, but to see them so they can see me in the community, what they need to do. Pretty much every event I go to, at least one of them is with me, and service to the community, service to church, to family, just trying to be a role model for them.
Terrific. How about you, Yolanda?
Well, I raised most of my children away from home, so I didn't have a direct connection to my mother. I called her when I could for recipes and, you know, advice, but the day-to-day was not there. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't recognize my motherhood until my children started having children. And then I could see my grandchildren behaving in the way that they did, with their the way they discipline, with the way they love them, with the way, and like Amanda said, their expectations of service and character. Mm-hmm. That's when I realized what my impact of my role was. And I'm just so proud. Every day I see them and I'm just so happy. Every Friday I have all nine of them over to my condo to sleep over. Nice. Because they're just, I just want to be with them. And I'm so grateful that my children allow them to spend so much time with me, because they could be afraid of me, but they're not.
Sure.
They're grateful to have me in their life. And I see that now. I see what my role was now in hindsight.
Mm-hmm. When I have to say, as someone that spent most of my adult life away from my mother, you know, like geographically, that, you know, in those weekly calls or sometimes more frequent calls, depending on how, what my needs were. No, but just hearing her voice was always a very, you know, always a calming influence. Mm-hmm. And my mother and I, we like to talk about politics and news and or books. And so it was always, again, I just hearing that voice, and mm-hmm. you'd feel her close, you know. And so that was always nice. I imagine that was kind of like that for you and your mom.
It was. Because it was a lonely time in the military.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're one of a few women on base. And mom couldn't support me or understand what it was I was going through. But she could say, we miss you.
Sure.
We love you.
Yeah.
And here's a good recipe that you'll like.
Sure. Well, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that. And he's not a mother, but like U.S. Grant, basically his career, he was basically let go from the military because he had this assignment in the Pacific Northwest all by himself. And his first child or children had been born. And in his loneliness, he resorted to alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And it's what cost him his career at an early age. And of course, we know about his triumphant return, you know, thankfully, but, you know, begs the question if the HR, the human resources discipline had been more advanced, that if he had gotten the help that he needed and the support, that, you know, the Civil War might have even been avoided or would have been over sooner and a lot of lives would have been saved. And so I imagine for women in the military, not just a male officer like U.S. Grant back in the 18, whatever that was after the Mexican-American War. But does it seem like they're starting to recognize that need for supporting these and also veterans, you know, spouses?
Well, the need.
Or service people's spouses, sorry.
Yes. There are much more family services out there. But once again, it's family services separating women. The services in the geared toward families that are not in service. So. The spouses stays back, the children stay back. When I was in and my husband's unit deployed quite a bit, I was one of maybe a handful of women who remained in the squadrons without any kind of real support except for each other.
Yeah.
But even now, the families, again, are supported, but the women are kind of peripheral. they either have to fit in to the male support services or they have to try to fit in to the spousal support services. So there's still a bit of a gap in there, but the military is working on it.
Yeah, good to hear. Good to hear. And, you know, and it seems like, and again, I'm making gender specifications or stereotypes. If dad goes away, you're certainly going to miss him, but you've got mom. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine if mom goes away and dad's left to run the ship. It's got to be a lot harder for children. I mean, is that fair to say, or is that just
my,
you know, gender typing, if you will, or what do you want to call that?
Like I said, I didn't deploy, but I did have 24-hour guard duties because I was in an aircraft squadron and that had to be, security needed to be maintained. Sure. And it's very, with no family close by, it was very difficult to leave Amanda and in a 24-hour daycare. It was heartbreaking. It was scary. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? Why do I have a baby, you know, in a 24-hour daycare? You know, is she sleeping? Are they feeding her correctly? You know, so we're considered the caretakers. So how do we balance that with military service?
Sure.
And it doesn't always work.
Yeah, no, I bet. So, but you're back here in Waukesha in our family lives, though. Do you feel the city or the community embraces motherhood in an effective way? Or is there opportunities for improvement?
Well, I was born and raised in Waukesha, just a few blocks away. I was born in Waukesha Memorial Hospital.
Okay.
So this is my hometown. It is a strong community. It's grown, but the core of the community and the values are still there. And that's why we came home. When we lived in Texas, in several Dallas, San Antonio, several different areas around the country, but we wanted to come home because we felt the strength of this community.
I like that. Do you feel the same way, Amanda? I guess you'd say a transplant or something that was like myself that was relocated here?
Yes, absolutely. I do. When we moved here, I was 16, 17 years old. I wanted nothing to do with the place. And I didn't.
And you really love the winters too.
The night we drove up, it was 69 degrees and I thought I was going to die. It was so cold. But once I married and started to have my family here, I told Eric, I said, my kids need to know Texas. They need to know my home. And every other year we go down, and every time we go, as much as I love it and seeing our friends and family, it's like, we're home. And I miss Waukesha. And so, yes, I absolutely do feel like this is.
That's interesting. Where Texas is home? Like, what metro area is or town?
The two different ones that Mom mentioned. So the Dallas area is where we were when we were a little bit older.
Okay.
We have family there that we visit. We just added our family in Austin that we now add to our trip. I have family and
I have a brother in Austin and a brother in Dallas.
Yep.
So.
San Antonio, Houston. So we're everywhere.
Okay. So you really got the state covered
we
then.
We do.
Sounds good. A lot of driving around then.
Lots.
Sure. Yep. No, I do because I have a brother in Dallas and a brother in Austin. That's 3 hours apart.
Yes. Yep.
So, but very different cities. And I had the pleasure of going to a trade event in El Paso. And that was a great place to visit too. So there's a lot to see in Texas. That's
yes,
for sure.
Yes, there certainly is.
So, but coming back here to Waukesha though, again, I mentioned Mary Berg's my guest next week and we've got like a whole calendar of great family friendly events for the summer. Which ones do you guys like to take advantage of as a family?
As a family, we do, of course, we do the fair. We will do Friday Night Live.
That's coming up. Yep.
Yes, it is. Well, I have a brother who frequently performs out there, and so we
nice.
Enjoy seeing him. We'll do the farmer's market. We will do some of the – we like the reading programs with the library.
Yeah, I want to say, because usually we have them around this time. You know, like we had Bruce Gay a couple years ago. We had some members of I apologize for it, but they couldn't join us this May because they are so busy. And don't you love hearing that? The library is very busy. The staff is stretched, preparing all these great reading programs and other fantastic programs that they put on. But we do, you know, maybe if we can get them in for a phone call or a quick interview because they're so close by, we'll continue working on it because the city needs to learn more about all the great things going on, not just in our library, but our library system. So very, very grateful to have that in our lives.
We have a wonderful library here in Waukesha. And though a lot of us might not travel worldwide, we have access to
everything we can explore. A university just right next door to us. And I'm not just talking about Carroll, but the libraries. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So Max, how are we doing on time here? 4 minutes. So because we promised to let you go early. So in these final 4 minutes, what haven't we talked about regarding motherhood or the gift of a mother's love? I guess we'll start with you, Marissa, that we haven't covered yet or that's meaningful to you.
Well, with me, I love seeing my mom, my grandma, my aunts, all those women who shaped me into who I'm becoming.
Sure.
Because, yeah, I'm still growing, but it's amazing to be in the community. Like, one of my friends, they frequently tell me, she's like, I see your mom everywhere, everywhere, yeah. Almost every event. And I'm like, yep, and I'm always there right behind her.
Sure.
And then with my grandma, it was really interesting. We went to a UWM field trip last year. And it was just interesting to see, and then the community around, and I would see the Maverick sticker everywhere.
Maverick is the Military and Veterans Resource Center. That's okay. The acronym for it. My office.
Love
and
it.
Just knowing that she helped build that program to what it's becoming and what it is today, it's sure. Just, it's a mother's love, but surrounded throughout the community.
Sure. And Yolanda and Amanda, is that fair to say when we see what a bright young woman Marissa is, that you guys feel like you're pretty, and she's reflective, I think, of the rest of the other granddaughters and you feel like you did a good job?
Oh, absolutely. And I have 8 granddaughters.
Wow.
So I'm truly blessed to have all of them around. And yes,
sure.
I see our strength in each one of them. And it makes my heart just can't sure. contain all the joy and pride that I have.
And 3 of them belong to Amanda, right? And
3 of them are mine. Yes. I tell my husband, I'm like, well, they do this and they do that. And he goes, that's you. And I was like, that's a step up from me. And that's what I want. I want my children to go a little bit higher than what I did.
I love it. Yeah. And I think what's unique for you, I mean, maybe you wanted a son, but my sister had 4 daughters and they were very close growing up. They still are to the present day, even though they live in different parts of the country. And them with my brother-in-law and my sister, it was really tight-knit family core. And I think there's something about sisters that I think that's really special.
Yes. Yes. And their age gap is a little bit... but they are very close. Speaking of age gaps, my sister and I are 12 years.
Wow.
And she was a baby in my sure. room. And now she's my best friend. And, you know,
that's
the motherhood bonds us.
Yeah.
It bonded us.
Yep. I think that's wonderful. Well, gee, I really wish I had more time. As promised, they agreed to stay 15 minutes later. They've got some work to do, a busy day with catering and then also preparing to relax for Mother's Day tomorrow. I'm really grateful, starting with you, Yolanda, not only as a mother and a grandmother whose impact is witnessed in that way, but also for your service to our country. We cannot be grateful. You know, thank you is not enough.
I appreciate it.
And then Amanda, my good friend, who, yes, we see everywhere, and we're really grateful for that. You know, another shining example of motherhood and leadership and community spirit. And then, of course, Marissa. I thought you were a junior. You know, you could probably pass for a college student. You're very mature, very bright, and I know that you're a great reflection of the women on either side of you. And as a treat, one of our in-house counsels, James Santel, who shows Amicus is next, or as I like to call Atticus, because he embodies the spirit of Atticus Finch. He's graced my guest with some cannolis. Are these from Gloriosos?
These are. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Wish you guys could see this. Wow.
Yes. So we're really we're grateful to you and for the example and for all that you are to this community. And we look forward to seeing you all again soon. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Stick around more. We call in a little bit of Audible. Jim Santel's going to join us in this final segment to talk about the big news of the week, the acquittal of our good friend Kathleen Cummings here on This Week in Waukesha on this beautiful Saturday morning. Don't forget, it's week 2 of the Farmer's Market. If you haven't gotten there already, Mom loves fresh produce on Mother's Day. Especially if us guys can learn how to cook it and some of the other great proteins there.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Waukesha's famous Farmers Market is back for another season, and WAUK is proud to be a supporter. We love setting up every Saturday morning, but could really use some help getting the tent and table up by 8 a.m. Saturdays and taken down at noon. With that in mind, we'd love to hire a couple of people to do the heavy lifting. A 7 a.m. start, done just after noon every Saturday. We'll pay you $15 an hour. In between setup and teardown, enjoy the market. Let us know if you're in at info@waukradio.com.
Big deals.
the WAUK Big Deal Store is open and has 30% savings at some of the area's best restaurants. The Delafield Brew House, Taylor's People's Park, and Max Macaroni and Cheese. You simply go to WAUKradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and save. You'll also find 30% off at Sal's Pizza, Juanita's Sushi and Seafood, and Club 400. Again, go to WAUKradio.com, click on Big Deals, choose Waukesha, and save on your next great meal with Big Deals from WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
We're back on This Week in Waukesha on the special Mother's Day weekend, and we are rounding things out with the host of the next show, Amicus, a law review, retired U.S. Attorney James Santel, and my good friend Mary Jane Sanchez, one of the more active members of the community, who, we thought we would dedicate this time on Tuesday, Kathleen Cummings, former Alder and county legislator, county supervisor, was acquitted on all seven charges relating to election fraud and government swearing in, unlawful government swearing in, and which started almost 3 years ago in the fall of 2021. And I didn't know about this till last night, so I was kind of disappointed. I know there was good local media coverage, but I'm surprised that I, as someone that was also beheaded around that same time in terms of losing my role on the council, I was surprised that I hadn't heard sooner. I was talking to Mary Jane last night when I was getting dinner, and that's when I found out. So, but I guess, James, start with you. What's your kind of outlook on the case? I mean, obviously, sure. Vindication is very, you know, we'll talk to Mary Jane about that.
Absolutely. And this is our system of justice, right? And here we have a situation where we've got a trial to a court. A trial to a judge there in Walworth County. And that's significant, too. Obviously, every defendant in any criminal case has a right to a jury trial here appropriately. The selection was made by Ms. Cummings and presumably her attorney as well, who I know well. And
what's her name again?
Right.
Buchler.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, finish. Right, yeah.
Well. Sure. So the decision obviously made by both of them to go with the court trial as opposed to a jury trial. That is significant. And it's probably significant because here, as I understand the case, you've got specific facts about where actually Ms. Cummings and family was living. And so you've got some things that, frankly, a judge can decide. And obviously the judge there in Walworth County, his name, Philip Koss, yep. Made that determination. And it is just as effective as a jury trial is. And as you indicated, 2 days of trial, and the judge makes that final determination, acquitted, discharge, and the case is over. Absolutely, right?
Thankfully. And, you know, my question is why, especially 6 months after what had happened with Alderman Aaron Perry, when his residency had come into question, why did this case even get this far?
Right. And again, I'm, by way of just responding to your previous question, Donna Kuchler is her attorney. Donna, yes. Also know her son very well, Tony Cotton, and dealt with them very successfully, even as opposing counsel in many matters. So good lawyers. And again, underscores the importance of defense counsel in our overall system. And I raise Donna's name and identify her and the important role that defense counsel make, because in part, one of the roles, which I'm sure Donna and Ms. Cummings did, was to present to the prosecutor here the evidence, even before this case is charged. And so I think there should be some internal questioning. There should be some soul searching about exactly the question you asked, Don, which is, you know, even before this case got to trial, The facts here, not that complicated, not the kind of thing that would require a huge amount of, investigation,
litigation.
right? How does it get this far? And again, fairly decisively, the judge says, no, there's no there. That's not the legal way of describing it. But it does underscore the need, once again, for everybody to be communicating with each other. Here, presumably, that was done. And the prosecutor still went ahead and said, no, I think we've got a case. Understanding, too, the prosecution's got this high burden beyond a reasonable doubt. This is not a civil case. We've got just a preponderance standard beyond a reasonable doubt. And again, I think your question is a good one. It may be rhetorical in some sense, but also in the wake of the acquittal, the kind of thing that people will be asking and looking for some answers to.
Sure. Mary Jane, please weigh in, because I know you're dying to comment on it. Maybe being able to say things that we can't.
Sure, Don. Well, first of all, Kathleen is a dear friend of mine, and she had good aspirations for, you know, running for a higher office. And but within her, and she served the community for 22 years.
Faithfully.
Yes, exactly. And she followed things by the book. However, she inherited a home from her in-laws, and her and her husband were renovating it. And apparently the mailman had reported that they were at one location rather than the other one. So, but anyways, Kathleen was vindicated, and it was something that was a concern to the courts, because many people have two homes.
Sure.
And if that happens for Kathleen, what's going to happen to anybody else?
So cutting to the chase, because we knew with the Aaron Perry situation, again, as long as you had a lease or a mortgage or utility bill, something, it's a very difficult standard to prove.
Correct.
Real quick, was there, do you think there was a political agenda by the city leadership?
Oh, I do. However, how do you prove that?
Right. And that's what I was going to ask for Jim Santel, is there recourse for Kathleen to pursue wrongful litigation action, like, you know, a lawsuit.
Right. Exactly. It would be civil in nature. They're difficult to do, even though we've got an acquittal here. You've got basically a finding of no guilt here, no criminal responsibility at all. But again, not only internally should there be some examination, as we talked just a moment or so ago, but those kinds of things, I'm sure Attorney Kukler and Ms. Cummings together will talk about those kinds of things. Government has a responsibility to treat its citizens rightly, fairly, decently, under the Constitution, the laws and statutes of the community, and that's what this should be all about.
James Santel, Mary Jane Sanchez, thank you. And again, James Santel is on next with Amicus Law Review. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Please remember, safety and good mental health is everyone's responsibility. Have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, stepmothers, foster mothers, and all mothers. Thank you again, and see ya!
See ya.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we play another round of three headlines and a lie you can play along at home. And then we talk Harleys this summer with Tim McCormick from the Harley Museum. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.